often what you see isn't real. So now on a daily basis, I'm going to compare my body to a body that's face tuned, surgeries, all types of stuff is going on, and that's what I'm going to compare my natural body to. That doesn't really make sense. And the way it affects your self-esteem to see so many people that look the same way, their life's perfect, their finances are perfect, it can make you start to reflect on yourself and feel like you need to be working harder, you need to have a Range Rover at 22, you need to have a mortgage at 24.
Yeah,
it's just not real life. Yeah. And I think that's the issue with social media. There's no trigger warning to say this is not real.
And welcome to another I'm Beautiful Talks podcast. I'm your host, Renee, and today we are joined with the lovely, the beautiful Larissa and Jada. Today we're going to be talking about loads of things, to be honest, from childhood, teenage years, confidence, juicy inside stories, and experiences, I guess, about our own lives. So yeah, let's get straight into it. So Larissa, I'll tell you a bit about Larissa. So she is a digital aesthetic content creator. She has quite a lot of followers on TikTok, over 50,000 followers on TikTok. She's all for body positivity, self-confidence. And Larissa's actually also a Curvaceous ambassador, which hosts, I think it's the largest.
They are one of the UK's largest body confidence and modelling agencies. They try to build and boost confidence of many women from different parts of their lives and stages.
Which ties in perfectly to you as a person as well, which I think is amazing. And yeah, even down to your Instagram, it's full of just body positivity and I guess just pushing people to have that self-confidence in who they are. And then we have the lovely Jada as well, who is someone who's very passionate about humanity. She's also a positive survivor of sexual assault. She's been training to be a support worker, and she's also involved in loads of community projects, including her own. So we'll get into a bit about that as well. So as you can see, today is going to be a very probably thought-provoking and just interesting discussion about things which I guess we all can sit down and talk about. So I thought the first question I would ask you guys, just to, I guess, set things off, would be, let's talk about childhood and, you know, moving into teenage years. You guys are now definitely both very confident individuals, I would say. Has this always been the case? Jada, we'll start with you. Do you think confidence has always been on your side?
No, I would say that it's been a long journey to getting to a confident state. I would say, so I'm 22 now, and I would say I only found confidence from the age of 21. And I would say a big thing that rocked that was my birthmark. So I got a birthmark. And growing up, I grew up in an area where nobody really minded, nobody said anything. And it was really inclusive. So it was a predominantly white area, but it was a really nice white area, I would say. So then I moved to Hackney, where they were not so welcoming of my birthmark, and then I started getting bullied. So that was when people started referring to me as Hulk and would like chase me around, mainly boys, to see if I would like change into Hulk. So then,
how old are you around this age, by
so
the way?
That started in year seven. From the point that I moved to the school, there was issues about my birthmark. So I'd lived the first like 11 years of my life completely fine, no issues, not knowing that anything was really different about me, to all of a sudden realizing that this thing on my face makes me really different, apparently. And it actually resulted in me getting a consultation for laser removal, because I wanted to get it removed. Like, at the worst of it, I thought that I would never have a partner, no one would love me because of my birthmark. So it's been a really, really long road, working from what I would say having zero self-esteem to now being at a point where, don't talk to me. Talk to me nice if you're talking to me. I know how I look, so don't talk on it. And then I would say for me, weight was another thing that really affected my confidence. So I was always really skinny, and I got called Marga. And I used to like want to put on weight, but I had such a fast metabolism that I just couldn't do it. Yeah. Mm. So it took a long time for me to realize that it's okay to be comfortable in my own skin, whether I've got weight on me, not got weight on me. It doesn't matter. It's who I am. And as long as I'm healthy, that's all that matters. Mm. And actually, there's a lot of unhealthy people that feel entitled to comment on my weight. I think not in 2021.
Gosh, you touched on a lot. So you definitely experienced like a kind of shift from I'm confident in who I am, I know who I am at a very young age, and then that almost switched in a few probably weeks, I would say, once you started secondary school. No, not even secondary school.
No, yeah. It was secondary.
It was secondary.
So for me, I think it was like a really weird journey. So when I moved boroughs, I went to a secondary school for about 5 months maybe. And then I moved, and it was the second school where all the issues came.
Okay.
So it was like a super weird journey of like going through primary school, going to secondary school, no one actually saying anything, changing schools to like... It literally felt like chaos came down in like the space of a day. Like, what's that? What is that? Did someone punch you? No one punched me. But what I think is interesting looking back on it is that if you felt like someone had put their hands on me, would you not have like wanted to be more sensitive or like try and make sure I'm not being abused at home? Because a lot of people did think that it was a bruise first. That was not it. Once people knew it was a birthmark, it was like,
What's that?
Is different.
Yeah. And we'll touch on that as well, people's opinions. I'm going to go to you, Larissa. What about yourself? Has confidence always been something you've had, or do you feel like you've had a journey as well in regards to self-confidence?
Well, growing up, I've always been like the creative person. I was always in like the plays, the dances, and like the singing. So I was always confident and outgoing in that sense.
Yeah.
But then I feel like I was made to feel a certain way because of how I looked and my weight. And then when you're always, I wouldn't say I was bullied, but it was always the side comments about my weight, or they would say like, you're pretty for a chubby girl or stuff like that, like throughout your whole childhood. So then it makes you feel as if you're not good enough or not worthy enough.
Was this secondary school time as well?
This was primary school actually.
Wow.
And then halfway through secondary. But then as you get older, I guess it kind of like, I wouldn't say it's normalized, because even today it's not normalized. You still get like the comments and stuff on social media. But I've become more accepting of it. But when I was younger, it was a lot harder. So I wouldn't wear a lot of clothes because of the way I looked. I was always embarrassed about the sizing of my clothes, like going shopping with your friends. And then you always get like the bigger size. So in the sense of my personality and who I was, completely confident. But the things that I wore, people made me feel like it shouldn't be okay, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and you'd almost want to second guess yourself.
Yeah. But then as you get older, I guess the confidence builds up and you start to realise your own worth, which is, like, I'm still on that journey. But the confidence, I'm glad it's actually starting to be shown on the outside. If that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess on the outside, it's got to come from within anyway.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. Where do you guys feel there was that shift of, actually, do you know what, I do like who I am. I know you touched data on the point where we're now in 2021, so you know, you can't speak to me anyhow, but when did you feel that shift? Was there a certain experience that you guys went through? We'll start with Jada again, but was there something that made you go, hold on a second, I look good, or I'm feeling myself, and this is how it's going to stay going forward?
So I think with me, it was really interesting. So I had been really slim my whole life, and then I put on weight, and I put on quite a bit of weight. And may I say, the common tone never, ever ended. So then around my 21st birthday, I had naturally started losing weight. So because it was my 21st, I was... adamant that I was going to have a really, really nice birthday and look really good. So around about 6 months prior to my birthday, I had seen the person that had assaulted me when I was younger. So that had really shifted my emotional state for 6 months. So the way that by the time of my birthday, I was like, let me try and make myself feel good to try and deal, like, heal from that. So it wasn't it wasn't something that I necessarily thought about for myself. It was more of a healing journey. So when my 21st birthday came, I did. I looked really nice. And then I realized after that that there's a lot to me and that actually I'm a really nice person inside. Like, I do a lot for others. I'm a really loving, caring person. And by that point, I started to realize that I'd been through a lot in my life and I had survived it. So then I was like, why can't I feel confident and comfortable in myself?
Yeah.
When I've been through so much. And then I started to look in the mirror and I realized, no, I do like the way I look. It was the negativity from other people that made me stop doing my hair, stop dressing the way I wanted to. So then I was like, let's stop that. So I started to do my hair again, do the things that made me feel good about me,
yeah,
all while remembering my character. And my character, yeah, no, I'm allowed to feel good about myself inside and outside, but I would say it's a day-to-day journey. It fluctuates.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that as well. I definitely agree with you. So yours was, you almost had to self-evaluate,
yeah,
and just conclude, hold on, no, like, I'm cool with who I am, and
yeah,
all these thoughts aren't even coming from myself, it's pretty much other people.
That was a really hard, I would say that was a really hard emotion to deal with, when I realized that I had allowed what other people had said or the way that they saw me affect the way that I lived my life. So like, now I'm not going out because I don't feel comfortable in the way that I look. So it's only me that's losing out. Everyone else gets to go out and have fun,
yeah,
while I'm at home because I'm like, I don't like this outfit. I don't like this outfit. This outfit doesn't look like this on me. So then it was like, is this how you're going to live your life for the rest of your life?
Mm.
You're 21. Is this what you're going to do? No, this isn't what I'm going to do. Mm. So I had to pick myself up and stop taking on what people said. What everyone's entitled to an opinion, but it doesn't make it fact.
That's a very powerful statement, definitely. And Larissa, what about yourself? Was there a specific experience that you went through where you were like, right, do you know what, this is it, no more feeling should I feel like this, should I not, none of that anymore?
With me, I think it was about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I did like a sort of fad diet. So I was actually bigger than this and then I lost 3 stone.
Wow.
But I had like an eating disorder. So I had like a real issue with food. So I'd weigh myself every single day, every morning. Goodness. And I remember I would only eat, like, I was going through uni, so I would only eat like, it sounds so ridiculous, but it would be like 1 cucumber for the whole time of uni, and
what?
Then I'd go home and have a salad. Yeah, it was a really unhealthy relationship.
How are you even functioning?
It was really quite a triggering experience. So I did that for like a year. I was happy with the weight loss, but then I kept looking at myself like I didn't look the same and I wasn't happy. And this was 2 years ago, and that's when I like started my little YouTube. And I remember I kept watching myself and I was never happy and I wanted to lose even more. So it came to a point where I was like, yeah, no, I can't keep weighing myself every morning and living off of like rations throughout the day. So
yeah.
I started to learn to love myself and accept the way I look. And I also wasn't allowing the size of a label on the clothes to affect me and be like, right, this is size 14. Oh my god, I don't want to get the 16. Oh my god, I have to lose more weight. I can't live like this. So then COVID happened and I remembered just really trying to work on my relationship with food, allowing sometimes the unhealthy stuff in moderation,
yeah,
but then still like with, I am plant-based, so still with my vegetables and my salads, but like it was that balance and the connection of embracing like my curves, my rolls. And I felt like I had to, this is when I turned into social media, I kind of didn't want other people to live the way that I live, both boys and girls. And my sister has 3 girls and they always look up to me like this auntie, and I'm like, I have to set a really good example for especially the younger ones. And and here I am today, like, yeah, just still on that journey of trying to love yourself and then still have that journey of working out and having a balanced diet.
And I'm glad you guys both call it a journey, because it's not something that once you arrive in this space of, wow, I'm so confident, wow, I now know myself, it's something that's done on a daily basis, yeah, weekly basis. And I think that's good for everyone to know who's watching. Your journey of self-confidence, self-worth, it is a journey, and there's no real ultimate destination, I guess. Things can affect it along the way, but it's just keeping, you know, that going and allowing yourself to be in that position. We're going to talk a bit about, I know you mentioned obviously being a role model to, I guess, your nieces, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, your nieces. Touch a bit more on that. How do you feel like your experiences are helping you change and shape, like, the future generation? So how is this transpiring?
For me, with my TikTok, I literally just started it off as a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Like, we all did. It was COVID. It was 2020. Everyone's at home. Yeah. I was like, okay, let me just do these. And then it started picking up. And then I started getting loads of DMs and messages from, I think they are quite young. Some of them are in their 20s. Some of them are older than me as well. And I started getting comments of how much I'm helping them, or how much they've watched one of my videos and they were having a bad day and a kid called them something at school and they felt bad and they watched me and they felt better. And I feel like that pushed me more than anything.
Yeah.
Or if I look at these, my sister's girls, they're growing up in a world that is hopefully becoming more diverse and more accepting of people's journeys, their individual journeys. I feel like the love and support that I get from those is what motivates me and helps me love myself in, yeah, return. And that's what keeps me going, if that makes sense.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think when you can see that it's positively impacting others, yeah, that definitely gives you a push as well with what you're doing.
Yeah.
What about you, Jaded? How do you feel like your experiences are shaping the lives of others, should I say?
So I think for me, it's a bit different in different areas. So yeah, I think one of the key things and the things I'm most passionate about is sexual assault. So I started speaking about my experience in December of 2020, but it was very much like I was in the middle of having a breakdown and like I kept coming to my Snapchat or Instagram. So from doing that, a lot of girls confided in me and, yeah, they started to, if they didn't directly share their story with me, they alluded to it. So the more that that happened, the more that I realized that I'm not alone, because all of these girls were A, from my area, and B, they were like roughly the same age. So then I realized that there's a lot of work to be done here. So I think just knowing, like hearing girls saying that they know, they now feel confident enough to think about it. Because I think that's something that people often don't realise, is that certain forms of trauma, you don't even want to think about it when you're by yourself.
Yeah.
So now girls are saying to me that me sharing my experience, they're considering reporting to the police, getting help for it, healing from it. And that, it could just motivate me for years and years and years. So I think that's one area that really pushes me. But then I think that I'm just a really passionate person. So I personally believe that before anything, everyone's a human being. So why do we treat each other any differently based off skin colour, gender, whatever it may be, just treat each other like humans. And I think seeing how much humanity fails on a daily basis, it just pushes me to want to put some positivity into the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely powerful. And just the fact that, again, in both of your situations, people can reach out to you,
yeah,
and just whether it's confiding in you or just saying thank you for putting that up or thank you, yeah, for saying that, makes a massive difference in people's lives. So let's talk about social media. You know, everyone talks about social media. It's like, I don't know, a buzzword, maybe, kind of. And let's focus on, I guess, self-love and body confidence. Do you feel as though social media has helped you guys with that? I know you guys use your social media quite a lot to help others, but do you feel as though it's helped you? And if so, how? If not, how? So we'll start with Larissa. What do you think?
I feel like social media has good and bad sides. Social media can be very toxic sometimes. And I, even though you get all the positive feedback and all the comments and the whole we're rooting for you from your followers, you also get the ones where they love to spread hate and negativity, which I feel like is reflecting on themselves and their own issues. So what I would normally do is sometimes what I used to do is put up the negative comments and do like a positive dance, one of the trending dances or something, just to show followers that it's okay for people to spread that type of negative energy towards you. It will just bounce off you. Like, you don't have to read it and accept it and believe it's true. Just smile and keep it pushing. They're still going to be mean and bitter. Like, you just have to move on and love yourself and carry on, because not everyone's going to love you. Not everyone's going to like you or like the way you look. But as long as you love and like the way you look and accept yourself, then that's okay. That's good.
Definitely. I agree. And I like the fact that you even, I guess, use the negative, should I say, for good.
It's
and
motivation.
This is the thing. It's unfortunate. It's something which can happen to anyone. Someone's going to say something. They could be on the other side of the world, but it's what you do with that. Do you, you know, sometimes it can ruin your day, but at other points it's like, actually, no.
Exactly.
I'm not going to let this do that.
Most of them just have like a username with numbers. Like, they're not really real people. Like, just keep going.
So true. So, so true. What about yourself, Jada? Social media.
I feel like there's clear positives in terms of the opportunity that it's given to our generation, but I do feel like it's clouded in a lot of negativity, even just down to the fact that often what you see isn't real. So now on a daily basis, I'm going to compare my body to a body that's face tuned, surgeries, all types of stuff is going on, and that's what I'm going to compare my natural body to. That doesn't really make sense. And the way it affects your self-esteem to see so many people that look the same way, their life's perfect, their finances are perfect, it can make you start to reflect on yourself and feel like you need to be working harder, you need to have a Range Rover at 22, you need to have a mortgage at 24.
Yeah.
It's just not real life. Yeah. And I think that's the issue with social media. There's no trigger warning to say this is not real. That's what it needs. It's not real. So I feel like, I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I understand the side of raising awareness, and I feel like I'm seeing a lot more positive platforms.
Yeah.
But I think the grand scheme of how it is putting too much pressure on us, and our parents were already under pressure, and now we've got the same pressure that I think our parents had, and then this fake world of expectations that aren't real. And then to make matters worse, you're now trying to like get this Range Rover at 25 because all of the influencers have it. It's the least Range Rover, and they still live in their mom's house, and these are what we're fighting to like get to. I just think it's a dangerous, slippery slope, but when used correctly, it can have some really positive outcomes.
Definitely. I definitely think social media as well is like a, is it two-edged sword or something?
Yeah.
So it depends how you interpret it, how you use it. There's no real, oh, it's completely terrible, or oh, it's, you know, amazing. You definitely can experience both sides with like one swipe for sure, of reality, should I say. Obviously, I'm Beautiful. We talk a lot about self-confidence, self-worth, body positivity. And self-care comes up a lot in like the majority of our podcasts. So I'm thinking, what do you guys see as like, you know, the ultimate self-care day or self-care routine? Like, how do you guys envision self-care? Larissa, what are your thoughts on self-care?
For me, the most important thing is mental health.
Yes.
Definitely your mental health. So what I would normally do is take a break. Like, I'm not one of those creators that post every day, because it does get really stressful.
Yeah.
It really does. Like, so I do take my own breaks. When I do those, I definitely go for the long walks and spend time with nature. I'm like a nature person. Or even spending time with friends or family. And then the other side to the self-care and self-love is loving your body. So I would do the skincare and the body care, like a bubble bath, things like that to relax you, maybe read a book. And just looking after yourself so that you're nice and refreshed for the next day when you want to get into that work mode.
Definitely. And I'm glad you touched on taking a break. Do you feel like it's something you do regularly, or is it when you feel like, gosh, I feel overwhelmed? Or regardless of that, you'll still take your break? Or how does it work?
I would say, yeah, it's more of a mixture. It depends on what the workload is.
Yeah.
So social media is 24/7. Yeah. So it's kind of like a bit of I'll work in the morning and then have an evening to myself kind of thing. You have to have a balance, because then you're just going to be up all night working and editing, especially when you do everything yourself.
Yeah.
It's about balance.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with you. And yourself, Jada, how do you envision self-care?
So I think self-care is really a lifestyle. It's something that needs to be in your day in any way. So something that I find really, really useful is journaling, just writing down my thoughts in the end of the day and just taking note of how do I feel? What are my plans for tomorrow? So if I've had a bad day, how am I going to make sure that I'm feeling emotionally recharged tomorrow? And then I think another thing that's really helpful is affirmations in the morning. So I like to write positive things, look at myself in the mirror, have really high frequency positive sounds around me so that I'm starting my day off right. And then I think self-care Sundays are like my favorite thing ever. So like bubble baths, skincare all day, like I feel as oily as a baby by the end of the day. And I'm like, yeah, this feels amazing. So I think that's the way that I manage it. It needs to be a part of my life. And I think for me, mental health is a key thing that
definitely
you need to be keeping check of. It is it fluctuating? Are you being triggered by stuff? And I think when you do that, it's easier to know when you need a break, which is something that I'm trying to work on.
Definitely, I would agree. And I'm glad you both touched on mental health, especially with everything going on with COVID. And I mean, I know it's kind of coming to an end, I don't really know, but even still, and we're slowly going back outside, people still might, I don't know, whether feel anxious, or there must be a lot of things.
Trauma. Some people actually had traumas from it, not leaving the house, imagine, and being alone. It's sad.
Yeah, honestly.
My anxiety definitely grew in lockdown. I was like going outside, I'm like, where's the buses? There's people near me. I'm like, oh God. So I feel like mental health during lockdown is like even more key.
Very, very important.
Scary as well, because there's a lot of people that aren't in like nice safe houses, for example. It's just really worrying time.
I do hope, if anyone's watching, to be honest, I might as well say now, if you do feel as though you're suffering from anxiety, whether it's depression or just not feeling like yourself, definitely seek help, and definitely talk to someone, should I say, who you can trust, because it's so important. And sometimes it just starts off with a conversation. So if you are watching, definitely seek help. I'm going to move on to another question for you guys. Going back slightly towards self-worth, do you feel as though, whether it's friendships or romantic relationships that you've been in or are in, how has that helped or hindered your self-worth journey? So you could date it back as far as you want, but how has friendships and relationships affected? Well, friendship is a relationship, but you know what I mean?
I think being around people that are on the same path, not necessarily the exact same path, but same direction, I should say, is important. And I think people that are positive for themselves, but also want you to win, are really important. So I feel like even down to relationships with family members, sometimes they're not the most positive people. So something that I found is that some of my family members were not pushing me or elevating me. Their comments and negativity was bringing me down. So I realized I need to take a step away from that. I need to take a break. Just because you're family, I need to take a step away. If I've got friends where friends know that I'm going through a really hard time and you're not checking in, I don't need you to be my friend anymore. I've actually had strangers that will like check in on a monthly basis because I've not been posting. So if like a friend or a family member can't, you can just go.
It affects the relationship.
Yeah. And then I think when it comes to a partner, I think in this day and age, it's really, really important to like be in a healthy, open, loving relationship. So my partner has really, really helped me along my journey, him being supportive. And even when I had weight on, him not, he didn't care. Like, he literally said to me, how do you feel? Do you feel happy in your weight? I didn't feel happy. So he said, let's go to the gym. When I lost weight, he said, do you feel happy in your weight? I said, not really. So he said, work on eating more. So it's always about having someone that can be your best friend, your hype person, cheer you on, but also that person's not meant to run away when things are going bad. Mm. So I do think picking your relationships can, it can change the dynamic of your whole life. So I would definitely say pick wisely.
Yeah, definitely. Larissa, what about yourself?
With me, I do normally tend to surround myself with family and friends that, or sometimes they do have their own kind of like a body dysmorphia or something, which can be quite triggering for yourself. But then I think I'm the person that would be like to them, that to encourage them that they are fine as they are. If they do want to work on themselves, then do not go for a fad diet, like avoid fad diets, because it didn't even work out for me. But I feel like I'm more of the person, like the giver of the motivation, rather than it this the same way on me. I feel like I find my motivation from strangers. It's very strange. From people I've never met before and things like that. And then my own self knowledge of self-worth and self-love. I remember when I was younger going through times of me and my friends, because surgery was and is still rising, I remember us wanting to like book a random holiday to, I think it was Turkey, or like a
kind of thing.
And then we just realized, like, what are we doing? Why are we trying to book a holiday to go get our bodies done and have like a vacation from it? I'm just glad I didn't go down that route, and I'm glad I'm on the path of loving who I am now. And even if my weight fluctuates, it's okay, because it is normal. And I always have to self-assess myself with, am I happy with the way I look? What can I do more? Should I watch what I'm eating? And I always have to just basically have that one-to-one conversation with myself, most importantly.
Definitely. And I'm glad again that both of you mentioned, sometimes it's just strangers that are there to keep pushing you on the little journeys that you've got going on, whether it's building your confidence or feeling like you're worthy of something. You'll be surprised how often a lot of other people we may not know personally can genuinely affect our lives on a day-to-day basis. I guess linking on from that, how would you encourage someone, should I then say, who's maybe beginning their acceptance journey, which incorporates everything from self-worth, self-confidence, someone who's like, right, I need to really try and become the person that I know that I'm destined to be, or try and become a lot more confident in who I am. How would you encourage that person? We'll start with yourself, Jada.
So I would say, when you're starting a journey, something that I really struggled with, and that if I was to go back, I would change, is I would say to remember that it's a journey. It's not something that's stuck still in time. It's a moving thing. And I think when it comes to something to do with yourself and your whole being, that's a lifelong journey.
Yeah,
that's the first thing. You have to sit down and understand you're going to be on this road for life. You could have a kid and you have to now go through body positivity all over again. Everyone gets old. You might now be struggling with your wrinkles. So start by accepting the journey and how long it may be. And then I would say, remember to be kind to yourself. That's something that I really do forget. Be compassionate with yourself, whether it's to get rid of the trauma from being bullied, or to learn to love yourself because no one told you you were beautiful. All of these things are a lot more deep-rooted than people understand. So be kind with yourself. And what I would say is as well is to not put too much pressure on yourself. You have to trust in something. So I became a lot more spiritual on my journey, and I started to just trust in the fact, trust in God, trust in the fact that things were going to happen whether I wanted them to or not. Mm. Once I started to understand that I don't have control over every human being and the world, it made it easier to accept that, okay, I'm doing what's best for me, but you might not be doing what's best for you, and I can just take a step away from that. So I think that's what are some of the key things when you start the journey to try and just keep a note of, I would say.
Mm, definitely. Really important points, to be honest, especially in regards to not just the step away, but also acceptance. Sometimes not in relation to, oh, this has happened to me, I accept that I deserve, or I accept that, you know, this is something that was necessarily supposed to happen to hurt me, but just knowing that it's out of my control.
Yeah.
This situation was completely out of my control. So that's really, really important. Definitely. And yourself, Larissa?
With me, sorry, do you mind repeating the question?
Yeah, I will. So what encouraging words would you say to someone who's beginning that self-acceptance journey?
So with me, as Jada said, it is like an ongoing journey. To me, I don't think it is a never ending, because as humans, you always want to improve on something. You always find a flaw, or someone will point out something. And that's another thing that you said of being kind to yourself. You have to also be kind to others, because one simple word that you think is a casual in the sentence, oh, you like you found a bit of weight today, it can be really triggering for some people, and you don't know what they're going through in their own minds. So I do recommend being kind to yourself, for one.
Definitely.
And even spending time with yourself. Like, it wasn't until I became completely single that I realized my own self-worth, and I started to treat myself and like go out by myself and realize that it is okay, and you can do this, you are happy with yourself. And yeah, it is definitely an ongoing journey for sure.
100%. And it's worth it as well.
Yeah. It definitely
I'm sure
is.
You guys, you know, you mentioned a journal. You must sometimes look back and be like, gosh, that's where I was maybe a year ago, or I'm not sure how back your journey's been, but and you've looked at it and you're like, goodness me, like my mindset's changed so much. Or yourself, Larissa, you might look back at, I don't know, it might be a situation or even a photo. A photo reminds us of so many things, and just reminding yourself of that headspace and where you are now, it can be really encouraging as well.
Yeah,
I document definitely. My journey for that. I think that's another thing that some people, I don't know, some people get triggered when they look back when on their journey. But for me, it is always really great to be able to look at a picture and be like, wow,
that was me.
Like, you can see, like, sometimes for me as well, I feel like you can see in my eyes when, like, my soul is just not the same. So it's nice to see like the light back in my eyes compared to 6 months ago when it was really depressing.
Exactly. And like, if I didn't go through that stage of losing the weight like really rapidly, then I would never have realized what life is like on the other side of just taking this every day at a time, and realizing that it's okay to gain or lose weight. As long as you are happy in the now, then that's all that matters.
Definitely. 100% agree. Honestly, guys, I feel full. You know when you're eating good food? I like Caribbean food in Caribbean. And you just feel like your belly's full. Like, that's how I feel from this conversation. You guys have touched on so much. And I know for a fact those people watching and listening as well will definitely gain a lot of gems from this conversation. But now that we have come to the end, I want you guys to just share with us maybe just one thing that you'll leave with us. I know you guys have both mentioned ways to encourage people on their personal growth journeys, but what's like one thing you want to make sure we remember? And then shout out your Instagram handles as well.
I would say to never ever forget that you have a purpose, and that your purpose is only yours. So you can walk with a lot of people around you through life, but your purpose is a lot bigger than you. And don't ever forget how powerful you and your purpose can be. So yeah, you might be the next prime minister, but you're holding yourself back. So find your purpose. And my Instagram handle is Jada Smith. Oh, it's so complicated. J-A-Y-D-3-A-Smith.
We'll make sure we put it like on the edit. And yourself, Larissa, what would you leave with someone?
For me, it would be not to give up on yourself, because this journey is never ending, and we're all at different stages, different ages of our lives. So it's important not to give up hope, whatever goals and dreams that you've set for yourself, like, just go for it. Stop being scared about what other people think about you, because that is definitely one thing I wish I knew and was told years ago. So just go for it and just not care. Just do what makes you happy. And yeah. And my Instagram handle is larissa.hazel.
Larissa.hazel. Guys, like I said, I want to thank you both so much for joining us on the I Beautiful Talks podcast. Again, I've learned so much, and I know those watching have learned a lot. And to those of you who are watching, if you have enjoyed the conversation, make sure you share it with your friends, your family, someone who you think might find it, you know, useful. And don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. So this has been Larissa and Jada today, and this is I'm Beautiful. Thank you for watching.